came up were scoffing at the story. There were titles like The Ridiculous Story of Jonah and things like that. And isn't it fascinating that the story that the world, one of the stories that the world likes to scoff at, is the very one that Jesus validated himself as being real. It's not just an allegory, but something that genuinely happened. So while you got your hand in Jonah, let's go to Matthew chapter 12 and see that for ourselves this evening, where our Creator himself validated this book that we're going to study together. Notice verse 38 of Matthew 12. It says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." So not only did he validate that he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, but also that he did preach to Nineveh and that they repented at his preaching, as we'll see. That's exciting for us as Christians, that we don't have to wonder. We can know that this really happened, and it was written in God's word to teach us. Now, of course, Jonah pictures a reluctant Jewish nation, reluctant to reach out to the Gentiles, which, remember, Jonah was a Jew, but he was sent to preach to Gentiles in Nineveh, which pictured the apostles in the early days. Most of the apostles didn't want to speak to Gentiles. They just wanted to preach to Jews. But God's love demands that we reach out to all. Amen? And Jonah was written around 750 B.C., to teach us how important it is that we follow God's command and reach out to everyone, even people that we may not like. Jonah did not like the Ninevites, as we'll see. So we see in chapter 1 his call, his disobedience. Chapter 2, his chastisement and prayer. Chapter 3, his repeated call, and this time his preaching. And then chapter 4, God sparing Nineveh at their repentance, and then Jonah's disappointment with God's mercy. So we're going to learn a lot from Jonah here in chapter 1 tonight. Verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, for he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." So the end of verse 3 is my title, From the Presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and the many, many things it was given to teach us. And may we learn tonight. And may you speak to our hearts and grow us through it. And we ask that your blessings be upon this service, and that you'll be glorified in it as we lift you up. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So it all always starts with the first phrase, the word of the Lord. Isn't that good? The word of the Lord. It was the word of the Lord that reached us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the word of the Lord that leads us to serve Jesus Christ, as we talked this morning. Because the word of the Lord is powerful. Amen? It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, as we see in Hebrews 4:12. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This book is powerful and speaks to us. Go to James chapter 1, where we looked at last Sunday, verse 22, where God's word wasn't just given to give us information, but God's word was given to speak to us personally and to lead us and to convict us and do many other miracles in our lives. Notice James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The word of God wasn't just given, again, to give us information, but it was also given to show us what God wants from us. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to honor him with our lives and with our behavior. And so it was the word of the Lord that came to Jonah. Now, this is Old Testament days. It wasn't through the written word. It was through the spoken word that God came to Jonah and said, I want you to go. So back to our passage there in Jonah 1. Look what he says. Arise and go to Nineveh. I personally believe God gives us direction through his word. And the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we seek, as we pray, as we draw nigh to the Holy Spirit and be yielded to him and filled with him, and we go to the word of God will show us. It will be that lamp. It will be that light. And here in Jonah, God said, the word of the Lord said, Jonah, arise and go. Pretty simple instructions, isn't it? Arise and go to Nineveh. And you know, usually when God gives us direction, it works like this. It's one step at a time. Do this. And then if you do that, then he's do this. And he doesn't usually lay it all out. These are the next 23 steps in your Christian life. It's usually one step at a time. And I want you to go to Nineveh. He didn't tell him what was going to happen, whether they would repent or not. He just said, I want you to go. I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach to Nineveh. Leave the rest up to me. God says the same to us. He gives us direction one step at a time. Go to Psalm 5:8, and we'll see this, where David cried out to the Lord for perfect direction, Psalm 5:8. And God promises that if we ask, he'll give it. The Bible says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him, in James 1:5. Notice Psalm 5:8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Look at this next phrase. Make thy way straight before my face. Isn't that good? Lord, please make it clear what you want from me. Make thy way straight before my face. And we're told in Ephesians 5 that we need to understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, where are we going to find that? I believe we find it in the Word of God. And the Word of God clearly said to Jonah, here are my explicit instructions. Arise and go to Nineveh and preach. And God speaks to us as well through his word. Go to Psalm 32 while you're in Psalms. We'll see it again, verse 8. Psalm 32, verse 8. God speaking. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Isn't that beautiful? God says to us, I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. So we need to ask. Lord, show me. Show me what you want. Instruct me. Lead me. Let the word guide my steps. Just before Jesus went back to heaven, he gave similar instructions to the apostles, didn't he? He said, I want you to go. And I want you to go where? All the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But until Paul, they didn't obey that command. We're just going to hang out in Jerusalem. Just preach to Jews and watch the great First Baptist Church of Jerusalem just grow and grow and grow. But that wasn't what God told them to do, was it? I want you to go into all the world. And it was finally Paul that God called, said, Paul, the other disciples really aren't listening. Go. And he did. And they finally sent him out there in Antioch in chapter 13. And Gentile churches started getting established. And then they planted churches and on it went. But this is what God does. He speaks to us through his word and says, I want you to do something. I want you to go. And in our verse here in Jonah 1, he says, and I want you to go and I want you to cry against it. And so when God gives direction, I believe he gives specific direction. He doesn't only give general direction, he gives specific direction. And this was very specific. I want you to go to a specific city, and I want you to speak a specific thing. I want you to cry against it. In other words, I want you to declare my coming judgment on this city for their wickedness. You know, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit will lead us if we will let Him. So verse 2, their wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, I want people to hear about my judgment. I want people to hear about my hatred for sin. We often mention how Calvary displays God's love like nothing else. Amen? But it also displays God's hatred for sin like nothing else. That it took that much suffering and that much pain to pay for our wickedness. And God hates sin. And He says to Jonah, I want them to hear that my judgment is coming because they are living wicked lives. They don't care what I think. And I want you to go talk to them about it. I want you to preach. So go to John 9, where Jesus explains that He came to be an example. Amen. He came to show us His love. He came to show us His servanthood when He washed the disciples' feet. He came to work miracles. But notice in John 9:39, He came for another purpose. He says, Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. Sorry, that they which see not might see. I said that with the wrong emphasis. And that they which see might be made blind. So what does He mean by that? Well, that they which see not, in other words, those who haven't heard about their Creator, they haven't heard about His coming judgment, their eyes might be opened to the truth of Jesus Christ and His salvation and judgment and how to avoid judgment. But they which claim that they see, i.e. the religious leaders of the day, might be made blind. But Jesus also came, as we see here in John 9:39, for judgment. To see that the world is ultimately judged for its wickedness, that mankind is judged. And doesn't the Bible say the wages of sin is death? Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. And those who choose to ignore God's warnings will sadly see that death, that eternal death. It's a horrible thing to think about, but it's real. God cared enough about these people at Nineveh to send someone to warn them about judgment. God cares enough about this world to allow His Son to die in their place, but also to send us to tell them judgment is coming, but it can be avoided through Jesus Christ. So I want you to go and I want you to cry, for their wickedness has come up before me. That's all very clear. Amen? Pretty simple. And He says the same to us. I want you to go and I want you to tell people judgment is coming. That's why when we witness and we share the gospel, where do we always begin but sin? Man is a sinner. Man owes a penalty for his sin. There will be a judgment for sin. And you can avoid it because Jesus paid the price. Amen. So it'd be good if that was the end of the book of Jonah, but it's not. That's the beginning. Because that first word in verse 3 says it all. For a lot of Christians, it says it all. But he could have just went and did what God told him to do, right? But God has given all of us a free will. And even though we're born again, we still have a choice as His children to be obedient children or to be disobedient children. We always can make that choice. Go to John 6:67. I want to show you something. Now, after Jesus gave His discourse on the bread of life, a lot of people were very upset because they were trying to take the discourse literally. And even Jesus even said that they're spiritual words. And that when He said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood, they wanted to take that literally and they got all upset and many of them left. many of the disciples walked away because of his discourse on the bread of life. And where is it? 66, John 6:66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. How sad. Now, this isn't talking about the 12, but anybody who was a follower of Christ was a disciple. Now, at this point, Jesus could have said to his 12, please don't leave. I need to train you. I need to prepare you for my departure because you're going to be my church planters. You're going to be the beginning of great things. Please don't leave. But instead, he said in verse 67, will ye also go away? Talk about free will. He said, all the other disciples are leaving because of what I had to say about the bread of life. Are you guys going to leave too? And of course, that's when Peter said, well, where are we going to go, Lord? You're the one that has the words of eternal life. But Jesus gave them a choice, didn't he? You guys have a choice. You can leave or you can stay. But I'm not going to beg you to stay. You need to stay because you want to stay. And then go to Hebrews chapter 10, where again we find out, sure enough, God gave us a free will. Hebrews 10, look at verse 26. And we see Jonah. God gave him a clear command. Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh, warn them of my coming judgment. Right then, Jonah could have got up, went to Nineveh, and warned them of the coming judgment. But he didn't. Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after that we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Christians sin willfully all the time because we have a free will. We choose to sin. Jonah said, I heard what God said. It was very clear. I know exactly what God wants me to do, and I'm not going to do it. How many times do we do the same thing? So back to our passage, verse 3. But, oh, by the way, remember when the people came to Jesus and said, Lord, we'll follow you wherever you go. But, first let me go do this. First, let me go do this. And Jesus said, that's when he said, no man having put his hand to the plow looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. There needs to not be a but attached to what we say to God. Amen? We need to just say, Lord, I will obey. Not, I will obey, but I got these plans and I want to do this first. No, Lord, I'll obey. Done. That wasn't Jonah. But, verse 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. I have so much trouble saying that word properly. It's Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. Jonah said, I'm going to go the other way. God said, I want you to go this way to Nineveh. And Jonah said, I'm going to go this way. But from the presence of the Lord? How silly. Can we flee from the presence of the Lord? No. That's impossible. Elijah tried it, didn't he? He slew 450 prophets. I'd say that was a pretty amazing feat. And then one woman threatened him and he ran. Jezebel. And he went and hid in a cave and moaned and cried and said, well, I'm the only one left. And God had to come to him and say, you're not the only one left. Get up and get out of the cave and get back to work. God never told him to run and flee to the cave. But where are you going to go to hide from God? Go to Psalm 139, we'll see. And Psalm 139 lists all the places where you can hide from God. God gives us a detailed list. Verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. So you can't hide in heaven, you can't hide in hell, you can't hide under the sea, and you can't hide in the darkness. You can't hide from God. So he went to flee from the presence of the Lord. Can't do it. Jeremiah 23, let's turn there, we'll see it again. You cannot run from God. How many Christians try it every day? I know this is what God wants me to do, but this is what I want to do. We're essentially trying to, I always call it pulling a Jonah. God says this, I'm going to do this. Jeremiah 23:23. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? You can't hide from God. So we can try to flee from God and try to flee from his presence, but it's a waste of time. And as we'll see as we get further into the book, it didn't go so well for Jonah, did it? That he chose to take this approach. Now in verse 6, the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Well, why would he do that? He knows his prayer life is useless when he's running from God. And when Christians are running from God, their prayer life is useless as well. You say, oh, it feels like they're bouncing off the ceiling. It's because they are. God's waiting for you to get right. And then on down in verse 9, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. In other words, I am a Jew, and I do believe in God. It's like we say, I am a Christian, and I do believe in God, but I still want to live a disobedient life. And that's what he's saying. Yes, it's me. Yes, it's the storm's all my fault, as we'll see next week. Because yes, I'm a Jew, and yes, I'm trying to run away from God, and yes, he's punishing me. It's pretty silly, isn't it? And so verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind. And if you look in verse 12, he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. I personally believe that if God is chastising us, we know it. It's not some mystery. Oh, God's chastising me. What a shock. No, we already know we're disobedient, and we already know when God is working in our lives and saying, you are wrong, and you're not listening to me, and now I have to chastise you. It's not a mystery. Just like it wasn't a mystery to Jonah. He said, I know this is all my fault because I chose to disobey and run the other way. I know this is because of me. And if you go to Hebrews 12, we'll see where God promises that all of his children at one point in their Christian lives will experience chastisement, which is what Jonah's experiencing. We'll get more details about it next week. But notice verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh in you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God chastens every one of his children. At one point in our lives, either in a big way or a little way, we try to pull a Jonah. And when that happens, God finds it necessary sometimes to send the big fish. And it won't necessarily be the big fish, but it'll be something. Some way to get our attention. Amen? I mean, do you think God was trying to get Jonah's attention? He could have just killed him, but he didn't. And did he get his attention? Absolutely. As we'll see. So, how foolish when we listen to the devil and think that we can flee from the presence of the Lord. We can't. But Jonah tried, and it didn't work out, as we'll see. So if we could just get rid of that one word in verse 3, we're all good. Amen? Just don't use that word with God. That word, but. Yeah, Lord, I know what you're saying, but. Lord, I know this is what you want me to do, but. I got my own plans. I got my own goals. Just don't say it. Just do it. And if God gives you direction through His Word as you yield to the Holy Spirit, which He will, what should be our response? Go. Do what He told you to do, and God will bless you. And eventually, He did. Just took a little bit of time in a whale's belly, as we'll see next week and the week after. So we cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. So don't try it. And when God says, do this, do that. Do exactly what He says to do. And we won't have to face the whale. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for